All right, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Generate Next. I'm G Cope.
You know who it is, C Rob.
JT in the house.
All right. And so here we go. We got to recap the first, you know, football kicked off. We had our big pregame shows and
Wait. Can I interrupt real quick?
Go ahead.
Y'all teams ain't shit.
Better than yours. All right. But anyway, we did all these grand things about the division and everything like that. Everybody took an L, but as we know, my team's still going to win that damn division. Unlike someone else's who ain't got no quarterback on his thread, and that's only one of us who ain't got a quarterback. Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk about your team. Cry. Go ahead.
I thought JT was going to go first, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, JT. Let's hear about your
let the youngster go first. Let the youngster go first.
Okay. Okay, so
after week one, I guess my question is, after week one, how do you feel?
After week one, I think that first slate of games has some great games.
It was a hell of a game. A lot of games, a lot of good games, man.
I understand that. But after seeing the first game with the new coach, and not just even with our team, but I think in general throughout the league, I think some of these starters need to play some preseason snaps. You already lost two a days. You already lost a game. I think some need to go in there and play a couple series during preseason, because the quality of play on some of those teams and some of those games was just not there.
Especially on offense, man. They got to get the reps in.
But let me say this. They don't want need to play in preseason. You know why? Because they're forcing them to play an extra regular season game. So the first game is always going to be shit. Get used to it. This is just the way it's going to be.
Did you notice in a lot of games, too, that fourth quarter, the endurance wasn't there like it used to be for a lot of teams? And ever since two-a-day stopped, I noticed that there's been a lot more injuries to players earlier in the season because they ain't in football shape. So that's just my little tangent on the league overall. My team with the new coach, I still got to see, man. The jury's still out. It was some questionable stuff that was called during that game. I think offense and defensively, there is room for marked improvement. Also, what I noticed is that San Diego, they've been marinating in this for 8 months. For us beating them at home in that nationally televised game that went to overtime. So they did come out with a lot more heart, a lot more energy than my team did. At the same time, my team was still competitive. They had opportunity at the end. But again, that comes down to some of the play calling that was made that I have a question about. So I sat to see. I understand he's a young coach, but he already had
No. Okay.
Hold he on. Already had a head coaching opportunity.
Hold on.
And he's been in the league for all this time. For what I see.
Let him finish, man. Let him finish.
I ain't going to let him get away with that.
He's young as a head coach. Okay. As a head coach. Let me justify that or clarify that. But. I'm still waiting to see. And the other thing that I noticed, too, I hope Carr don't get in the Rodgers mindset of the safety blanket.
I got to interject. I got to interject here. Of course he's going to get in the Rodgers mindset. One, he's not as good as Rodgers. Two, do you realize Devontae Adams – is the best receiver, this version of Devontae Adams, not college Devontae Adams. This is the best receiver that Carr has ever seen in his life.
Ever.
It don't matter who the quarterback is, what team Devontae Adams is on. You put him on Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes is going to fall in love. You put him in Buffalo, Josh Allen's going to fall in love. That's just who Devontae Adams, because he's open all the time because his route running is that supreme. Kind of like my man Cooper over there for Cleveland was doing some shizzy. He was doing some shizzy over there. But go ahead, JT. Go ahead, JT.
Wait, who did Cooper play for last year?
Oh, Dallas. He played for Dallas. Oh,
all right, just had to.
He's on my notes, man. He's on my notes.
Oh, he got notes today.
He got notes today. Yeah. That must have really bothered him on Sunday.
The memory, hey, the memory ain't what it used to be. So I definitely needed to bring my notepad.
Go ahead, JT.
So the lad, to top it off, I think two things to top it off. Our secondary needs some help. And then our quarterback, he needs some more real-time playing under his belt because some of the throws he was making, you throwing into clusters where you got three receivers, bro. Throw it to the dude, the running back or somebody. Throw it to the tight end. But he forced three of those interceptions that he had.
But at some point, you just have to accept Derek Carr as who he is, though. That's just who he is. That's who he is.
I didn't know he threw three picks.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. But that's just who he is.
Damn.
And I'm going to get on everybody's coach, too, on this thread. And I just want to have to back up and go back to JT. And he's not a young coach. He's probably almost 51. Yeah. He was young long ago. This is his second head coaching job. He spent years and years and years and years and years calling plays for a Super Bowl winning team. They got to stop making excuses for this dude. You got to stop making excuses for the dude. He just ain't that dude. That's just what it is. He's a coordinator, and that's all he'll ever be good at is a coordinator.
Offensive coordinator.
Okay. That was my spiel on Josh McDaniels. Who want to go next?
What was the dude that was coach of Raiders and he went to Nebraska? Kept getting jobs. Then he went to Houston.
Oh, Callahan. Callahan.
Callahan, yeah.
He's an offensive line coach. He's an offensive line coach. That's where he does his best work. You pull him outside that offensive line, you know, he doesn't do work there.
He's going to kill a program.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of Nebraska, they just hired interim coach, a brother.
First black coach in the history of the school.
Of the school.
Any sport. Of the school, years of any sport. First black head coach.
That's wild. Crazy. That's wild, man.
Wow.
They can't recruit like they used to, though, in Nebraska, man. They just can't do it anymore.
You can't win off of Tom Osborne anymore. These kids weren't born. Like, their parents, even some of their parents was little, too little to understand who Tom Osborne.
Right.
Can't live off that. Who going next? You want me to go next? I'll go. Let me just go. Just get it out the way. As I say, I'm indifferent about this season. They got waxed. It was embarrassing. It's not playing in the preseason, the starters. Just like last year, New Orleans came out there and beat the mess out of them. I looked through the Packers' schedule, 13-4, like I said before, 12-5, in that range. 13, anywhere from 12 to 14 wins, I expect this team to be back. I don't even count that. That's Minnesota's Super Bowl every year. This Minnesota gets happy about it. And at the end of the year, when Minnesota got 9 wins, they'll still be talking about the beginning of the season when they beat the Packers. Second place again. Yay, Minnesota. But anyhow, I just need to talk about two things. The quarterback, first play of the game, he throws the ball. Rookie Christian Watson playing in his first game. Remember, he played for North Dakota State.
Big stage.
He drops the ball. Big stage, big game. He drops the ball. Devontae Adams used to drop the ball when he was a rookie. Jordy Nelson used to drop the ball when he was a rookie. I mean, I almost every eventual star Packer athlete, when they were rookies, dropped balls. That just seems what the Packer received. MVS used to drop balls all. MVS used to drop the balls all the time. All this. Then a few plays later, Romeo Dubs ran the wrong way. Rookie again played for Nevada. Ran the wrong route. It happens. They're rookies. They have to figure things out. Aaron Rodgers likes to change plays mid-screen. Remember, Romeo hasn't played with him. Aaron Rodgers wasn't around. Romeo was playing with Jordan Love. So, for the rest of the half, he did not throw at those dudes.
At all.
He basically took away half the field for the Vikings. At all. Did not look at him. I looked at the all-22 because, I got to see. I'm not going to criticize somebody without looking. Christian Watson has elite speed and cuts in it. And that dude, for real, he goes in and out of breaks at full speed. That's crazy shit right there. Like, he had Patrick Peterson turned around all day, was running open, him and Rodgers would not look his way. Rodgers, once again, has crippled. It was like the San Francisco game all over again. Crippling the team with selfishness, holding on to the ball. There was one play I to the group I tweeted, because I know the casual people aren't going to realize what went on. Yeah. He checks out of a run play and does the quick slant to the rookie, who he doesn't know. This is not Devontae Adams. You didn't play any preseason games together. So he didn't run wide enough. That was Watson again. This was near the end of the game. Watson doesn't catch it. Then the next play, it's fourth and five or whatever it was. And this dude, instead of going short to the guy who's open, throws the seam to Bobby Tonyan and throws it out of Bobby Tonyan's reach. Hero ball. Remember, I had told you guys at the beginning hero of the game, ball. He'll start playing hero ball and the Packers will lose. time after time, this happens. Aaron Jones touched the ball 8 times.
Dude, Aaron Jones, what, 9.7 yards per carry?
Dude, the Packers' running game, they averaged almost 7 yards, him and A.J. Dillon. Right. But this dude keeps checking out of runs. Right. And this is what I'm saying. And this is where I say I'm going to criticize the coach. Matt LaFleur, I think, is an excellent coach. Excellent coach. Excellent game planner. Excellent schemer. But what he has allowed to happen, he has allowed Aaron Rodgers to cripple him. Because now he's too Aaron Rodgers dependent. It's too let Aaron Rodgers do what the fuck he wants to. It's too let Aaron Rodgers run Mike McCarthy shit. And it's like, I think about Mike McCarthy, and I've talked about this before. When he had Brett Favre and he came in, Brett Favre wasn't running Mike Sherman shit. Brett Favre had to learn Mike McCarthy shit. Mike McCarthy's famous quote, are you going to be here on Thursday night when I walk out of this building at 10:30? Are you still going to be here watching film? Brett Favre couldn't answer that question. The next day, Mike McCarthy has a press conference, said the train left the station. That was it. He was like, I'm done with this dude. Matt LaFleur needs to grow balls. Get the quarterback who's going to run the offense the way you want it to run, design, which is a run-based offense. Play action. You can't run play action successfully if your fucking quarterback keeps checking out of runs because there's no threat of run. Like, it's just simple shit. And this dude does whatever he wants to, and then everybody makes excuses because now it's the receivers. Now he has no receivers because, you know, he had receivers, and it was something else. It was the defense. He had receivers in defense.
He got Cobb and Watkins over there.
Cobb, come on, bro. Come on.
No, Cobb gets open, though. Cobb gets open. But he holds Corey. Instead of death, at 39 years old, stop playing hero. You should be smart enough and experienced enough and be able to put your ego to the side to do what I do call Tom Brady. Death by 1,000 cuts, bro. When Tom Brady was with New England, he would 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards, and it would kill people. And then all of a sudden, when everybody's looking for that 5 yards, over the top, touchdown. But Rodgers, he needs to be the hero. He needs to throw up 15, 20, 25 yards down the field. Every time, it's stunning the growth of the coach because the offense is not being run the way the coach wants. Rodgers complains after the first series and is whining on the bench. How do young receivers feel? This dude was up here. He never takes responsibility for anything. You know, I can't fuck with dude anymore. But anyhow, they'll still be 13-4, 12-5, 14-3, and they will lose probably, if not the first round, they'll lose in the NFC Championship. There we go.
Who they gonna lose? Who, the Eagles?
It don't even matter, bro. It don't matter whoever it is. It don't matter who it is. They're gonna lose because what's gonna happen is that team is gonna have an outstanding defensive day, and hero ball is gonna try to play hero ball. That's what's fun. All it takes is one game.
Piggyback on your not taking responsibility. Dude really irritate me going on the Pat McAfee show and be trying to blame people on the sly.
Oh, what did he say this time?
Oh, what's your why? Why are you out here? What is supposed to be the outcome of the play? That's what they need to think about. It's not about this. It's not about that. But what is your why?
He thinks he's a deep thinker, man. He thinks that he's the smartest dude.
He does, in the room.
Everywhere. Not just in the room, everywhere. And it may be to his detriment eventually.
All the time. What do you mean eventually?
I mean, where enough people in-house are going to start calling him out. I don't think everybody's in-house. I'm not in-house in the Packers training rooms and, right, and practices. I don't think anyone holds him accountable.
That's the problem.
I don't think anyone's going to pull him aside and be like, hey, man, what you doing?
But that's the problem.
So even if the coach won't do it, and if those young guys start seeing that, that could be a detriment to the team.
Oh,
but at the same time, I still feel your division that you all play in, like you said, they'll make the playoff. They'll go 13-4, 12-5, whatever it may be. I think they'll still be there making noise 12 weeks from now, 13 weeks from now.
Yeah, honestly. Corey, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be successful. Everybody's going to get back on that hype train. But I've seen it. I saw it 3 years ago. Saw it 2 years ago. Saw the crap last year. Your best man, your MVP, this world beater, he got to be a world beater when it counts. And he never is, though. He never is. He never is. But on a good note, though, Quay Walker, my God, that dude jumps off.
That is what he. I didn't watch all the game.
The linebacker, number 7.
Linebacker, okay. Okay. Oh, out of Georgia?
From Georgia. Georgia.
Yeah, dude.
Woo!
Right.
It's going to be scary by the middle of the year when he really figures out what he's doing. Yeah.
Right,
yeah. He closed
these
people.
These single-digit jerseys
for linebackers. Throw you off, right? Throw you off, right?
Man, they throw me off like crazy, man.
Okay, Tom Brady over there complaining.
Say what?
Tom Brady over there complaining. Tom Brady was complaining about the numbers.
Yeah, too. I remember. Yeah, last year he like, man, I don't know what's going on with these with these jerseys. So, all right, man. All right.
So let's hear about your Cowboys.
Both sides, man. I had to bring my pen and pad out, man. But I'm gonna make it quick. I'm gonna be precise.
Okay.
I'm gonna be concise.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys, had some issues at the end of last season.
Right.
And during the offseason, it got worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't address them motherfuckers, man. Mm-hmm. And it was glaring this game. As JT said, these cats need to play in the preseason. Dak was rusty as hell. Rusty before his injury, he was rusty. But at the same time, as I text to the crew, I said Dak is who he is. I said this a couple weeks ago and whatever. I said he's inaccurate, and y'all saw that. He had Noah Brown 6 yards away from him for a first down and missed him. His mechanics are off. He's not setting his. He's better out the pocket than he is in the pocket, but he doesn't set his feet.
But who's your QB coach? What's going on over there?
You know what? It's I don't even know who the hell it is, man. But all I know is Dak was a fourth-round draft pick for a reason.
Yeah.
He was a running-ass quarterback in Mississippi State.
But Russ was a three. Russ was a three.
Yeah, but he's not Russ, but Russ last night was holding the ball. Russ been holding the ball too long, man, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Dak.
He kind of reminds me of Marcus Mariota right now, Dak Prescott.
Possibly, man. Possibly.
They can maneuver, but when you need that accurate throw, they ain't got that accurate throw.
If you watch Dak.
First down.
First and foremost, this team. Well, 6 years ago, that was Tony Romo's team that they built. They got Zeke. They had the receivers. They brought Zeke. They had the O-line. They brought Zeke to help out, to have a good, you know, hey, for the running game, Tony Romo got hurt. Dak went on that run. I mean, it's part of the game. Dak went on that run. Dak went, yeah, exactly. Dak went on that run where it wasn't the coach that made the decision. It was Jerry Jones saying, hey, man, we on a run right now. We can't bring Tony Romo back. Tony Romo way better than Dak Prescott, dropping back, passing the ball. So Dak was rusty. He's inaccurate. He is who he is. He'll make a play for you sometimes when you need it. But he needs so much around him for him to be at his best, which most quarterbacks do. I mean, you can take the Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes making plays with new receivers and whatnot. That's not Dak. He needs an O-line. He needs a running game. And he needs a decent defense. Go ahead, man.
No, because it's funny that you say that, because Dominique Foxworth was talking today. And it's funny because he said, you know, you guys are surprised. He said, I'm glad in a way that Dak got hurt. He said, because I told everybody in the offseason that all of the problems that the Cowboys had last year, they didn't address any of them. And he said they weren't going to win. He said they weren't going to be a winning team this season. And he said, but everybody would have found a way to blame Dak. He goes, but now you'll see all, you know,
right,
all the flaws. Now that Dak's not
going. All the deficiencies.
Like,
and Zeke
has no burst, dude. Zeke has no burst.
Zeke is a different running back than what he was the first 2 years. Zeke would make a cut, get to the hole, and he'd break it. Dude was a state all-star champion in high school in the hurdles. So Zeke had he's a different running back now, but Zeke was averaging well over 5 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the offensive coordinator, the game was still within hand, within reach. The offensive coordinator decided he just wants to throw the ball. A rusty quarterback who's inaccurate. I know you paid us all this money. You want to justify. Zeke was killing him on the run. Early in the game, first drive of the game, kick a field goal. After that, they took the ball out of his hands. He did run a little bit more, but they took it out of his hands. Pollard, I want to see more from Pollard, but now I know why Pollard is not on the field.
He gets hurt too much.
He can't block.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
He cannot. He can't. Zeke will stick his nose in there and block. Pollard can't do that. He'll pick the wrong hole when the linebacker comes to the other hole, or he getting blown up.
And in Mike McCarthy's world, that is a no-no. If you can't block, you can't get on the field. Aaron Jones, the first year with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. That's why Jamal Williams got all that play, because he came from BYU. They had to know how to block in BYU. Aaron Jones went to, like, New Mexico State, so he didn't know those pass protection pro concepts.
Right.
So he had to sit that first year. He sat a lot. And in Mike McCarthy's world, if you're going to play as a running back, you got to be able to block.
Yeah, block.
That's why Pollard is not on the field a lot of times, man, because – and you want to have your running back on the field, even if he's not getting the ball, just to – make the defense think, maybe he is, maybe he's not. Maybe it's play action, maybe it's not. Pollard can't block for shit, dude. On top of that, that longest pass of the game was like 25, 26 yards.
CeeDee Lamb drops passes, too.
That's on my list, too. So his longest pass down the field with 26 yards. So speaking of CeeDee Lamb, is he a number one? Is he not number one? I remember, I don't know if it was last week or the week before.
Two weeks ago, I said,
this cat drops pass. I need to see a number one.
Right.
When he gets the ball in his hands, it's a different story.
Right.
But can we get the ball in his hands? Dak threw behind him, inaccurate, but it still hit him right here. As a receiver, you get your hand on the ball, you got to catch the ball. There was defenders around him, but you still got to hold on to the ball, man. Is he a number one? I think he's a number one, a true number one.
He's a 1.5.
Possibly so. He's a true number one with a quarterback that's accurate.
Yes. That's why I say he's a 1.5.
1.5. You saw Amari Cooper is a number one.
Whew.
Amari Cooper,
CBD.
The reason why he's no longer on the team is he started calling out Dak a little bit, and he didn't get a fucking COVID shot. He missed a game last year against the Raiders, I think it was. They lost the game. Jerry Jones didn't like that. He called out Dak a little bit, saying, I need to get some more passes. He out the door. Did they replace him?
No.
They didn't replace him.
Again, as I said 2 weeks ago, I get all of sexual mischievity that Watson had. But I want to see him and Cooper together, bro. With Chubb and Hunt running the ball. With Chubb and Hunt running the ball. Bro. Right.
We'll see that next year. I think we'll see that next year. We're going to see a glimpse of it when Watson comes back. But I think we're going to see the full blown. Because that running game, them boys over there.
Oh, man. My God. Them boys ain't no joke. Them boys ain't no joke, bro.
They ain't no joke. Back to the Cowboys. They didn't address O-line issues. Well, they did somewhat, but they knew that Smith is hurt half the season. They went first round, drafted an O-lineman, but they still let another one go. They let Lael Collins go, starting right tackle, because they didn't like him. Because I think he got picked up, I mean, for drugs or something, that he tried to appeal it. They didn't like that. Whatever. They got rid of him. Character issues or whatever. But he was a stud on the field. You trying to win games or you're not trying to win games? He's a stud on the field. They didn't address the O-line. You saw the O-line did a pretty decent job because Zeke was killing them for over 5 yards of carry. They went away from it. So then I started saying, like, it's time for McCarthy. McCarthy's, what was his claim to fame in Green Bay? Calling plays.
Calling plays, brother.
Put people in the right situations.
He played the mismatches all the time.
Kellen Moore was supposed to be the boy wonder genius. He had interviews this year for head coaching positions. Didn't get any of them. You're starting to see, and he's one of Jerry Jones' boys. You're starting to see that the dude don't know what the hell he's doing. Y'all saw those trick plays he was doing? Start the game off with?
Yeah, I saw.
Come on, man. You can't do that. So then I started thinking, like, why isn't McCarthy taking over the play calling? So I'm listening to the Cowboy radio station today. An insider was saying McCarthy does not know the playbook. I don't know if I want to believe that or not, but they said he's not comfortable taking over because he doesn't know the terminology.
Because that's not his scheme.
And he doesn't know the playbook.
That's Jason Garrett's scheme.
But as a head coach, you got 3 years? You got to learn that bitch.
He just don't want the blame. He don't want the, at this point, he don't want the blame.
I think at this point, he thinking like, I'm just trying to get paid as much as I can.
Yeah, because Sean Payton will be here next year anyway. And he's like, you ain't gonna ruin me by having me call plays and then people think I can't even call plays.
Right. So now I'm thinking, I think McCarthy is trying to like, you know what? I got a head coaching job. I'm gonna ride this loud. I got a nice contract as long as I can because I was a lame duck coming in because I didn't have control to begin with. So I'm going down my list.
The bottom line is,
the offensive talent is not there.
Right.
The defense, though, it was almost 50-50 as far as time of possession. They were behind a couple minutes, almost 50-50 time of possession. That defense held as long as it could. They held as long as it could. They gave up 19 points. Though they were at home, they gave up 19 points.
They still got issues against the run, though.
No, they do. They do got some issues against the run. I think they'll shore that up because they was getting gashed. Yeah. They was getting gashed. But you know why, though? If you look at it, though, like you said, you watched the All-22. They ran. Guess whose side they ran to? Defensive back side they ran to. Diggs. Because Diggs don't want to tackle.
He don't tackle.
He doesn't tackle. So if you saw running back, Fournette, when he was gashing, that left side. Yeah. And that's the side that Diggs plays because Diggs doesn't want to tackle.
Film don't lie. Most people get enough film on you. Film don't lie.
Right.
Yep.
And like you said earlier about Foxworthy, I want to see how the team comes together with the backup quarterback. Because you know what? The backup quarterback came in, he throwing the ball down the field. Dak wasn't doing that. So if you don't have a threat of trying to throw the ball down the field, those safeties start creeping up. Linebackers start getting ready. 26 yards down the field, Dak, longest play in the air. And it wasn't even completed. It was 26 yards. And then his next longest was 20 yards. And the next longest was 18 yards. If you don't have a threat down the field, or even fake, like, you know, just throw it down the field, man, you're going to suffer, man. And you saw that. The offense is flawed, very flawed. They didn't address those knees. They didn't address the O-line enough. They didn't address losing Cooper. CD right now is not a number one. And Dak is who he is, man, to sum it up. He who he is. He's a fourth-round draft pick. Okay. Inaccurate quarterback. At least y'all compared him to Wilson a little bit. Wilson being a third. Wilson is accurate at least. Though so, last night he was underthrowing a lot of passes.
Yeah. To me. So where do you think they're going to end up win total? Now that, you know, Zach is out till Packers or Bears game, which is what, November? Late October, early November?
Yeah. So they got the Bears late October, Packers early November. Mm. They say he should be back one of those games.
Right.
The schedule is not after – well, they got Cincinnati next week. After that, the schedule is not super-duper hard. If they could, man, get maybe two or three wins out of that. But I still don't have any – well, you saw what he looked like before he even
– I know I saw what he looked like. I don't think he ain't gonna come back and all of a sudden light a spark.
It's not like he's Mahomes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like he's Mahomes where, you know, all right, man, if we can hold off to the eighth game of the year, ninth game of the year – Dak is who Dak is, man. Dak is a fourth-round pick. He came at the right time.
It ain't like he Jordan Love either.
Hey, Jordan Love, look, hey, at least he's accurate. He's a little more accurate.
No, that thing pops out of his hand.
It comes out, man. Dak holds the ball. Receivers open. He'll hold it at their feet, over their head, behind them. When he threw behind Noah Brown, when Noah Brown was standing there open, I had enough. I said, enough is enough, man. He's paid too much. He's coming up in another year or two. He'll come up on another contract. I don't think they need to resign him, man. No, honestly.
That's got to be – you got to go. So let me ask the man over there, the young man. After seeing your division, and let me tell you, that dude in Kansas City. You can put me and C Rob out there. We gonna score three. Yeah. With Patty Mahomes, we gonna score three with that
man.
3 2-point conversions.
Yeah, because that's about as far as we can run.
Man, he did not miss the cheetah at all, man.
Man,
he didn't miss the cheetah at all. No. Catch step. As a receiver, you want to go out there and play for a quarterback like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because you know the ball going to be there. He going to have faith in you. And you, man, I would love to play for a quarterback like that, man.
Man,
I would love it.
They still the boss until we beat them. They still the boss of the division.
Y'all played San Diego, Sandy. I'm gonna call him San Diego. We said we was gonna call him San Diego.
We know the Chargers.
I'm calling him San Diego. They play San Diego, and then you saw Denver, who basically give a game away last night. And by the way, Randy Gregory, man, that dude got a motor. He always runs around the ball.
But you know what though? He does get hurt. Cowboys lost him. They lost him and didn't replace him as well.
Yeah.
They lost him and didn't replace him too. And he would have been He's on that side that when that Fournette
Diggs was
running.
That Diggs was
the Diggs, yeah.
Yeah.
They did not address no starters, man.
So, JT, where do you think the Raiders end up at the end of the season?
Better than the Cowboys.
I think they still got a chance at second or third, but they still have a chance at the playoffs. Because, like I said, I got to see how the starters play after some experience. The first week for a lot of teams, I really can't count this shit. Because the starters haven't played any significant time. And I think a lot of these teams' destiny is still to be determined based on how well they gel, the chemistry they build, and when things start really picking up. But right now, the Chargers, for us to still be in the game after, what, 4 or 5 turnovers? Yeah, I ain't too worried about them when we play them in Vegas. Right. Denver... If Russell Wilson getting paid all that money can't be like, hey, coach, let me go talk to you real quick because I got, like, Super Bowl experience. So, you know what? Let's do a play where we're going to try to get 5 to 7 more yards, then kick a field goal. I mean, you know.
Not just – I mean, it was a 64 or 65-yard field goal, whatever it was, man.
64.
He had the 64. Distance. He had the distance.
But Russell, man, hey, this is a teachable moment, okay?
Well, hey, coach, you got to realize that's the head coach. The head coach first game. He'll learn.
I know, I understand. But when you pay a quarterback like that much money, he should be able to have, you know, like, hey, coach, you want to rethink this? You know what I'm saying?
Coach ain't paying him. Coach
Walker. Russ,
yeah.
Russ, but, like but most.
From what I've seen, I think that we can still get second or third, but like I ain't gonna really make no predictions to probably after the first month of the season. And that's for like all divisions.
Cause I'm still making a prediction.
Go ahead.
What's that?
Cowboys not winning it.
Well,
the East.
Well, that ain't
that's gonna tradition. Be Philly or Washington.
You know it's what? It's gonna be Philly. Anyway, the NFC East always, every year is a different.
It's a different winner. Yeah, it's a different winner.
For the last, yeah. I don't know how many years. That's just the way it is.
So, I think it's Buffalo and Kansas City in the West again.
Who?
Yeah.
That's kind of a given. Yeah. And I think right now, who's coming out the
I'm going to do the final two. I'm going to do the final two.
Right.
I'm going to go Packers. Who they'll lose that NFC Championship game no matter who. Who's playing? You could put Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game. Aaron Rodgers final. Let me scan my. Probably the Rams will come back. I don't know because Stafford sometimes, man. Stafford will give you 2-3.
Yeah. That Detroit come out of him sometimes. That Detroit. Yeah. But when he's on, man, he's up in the upper echelon.
If Tampa stays healthy, but here they got an offensive line, they got problems now. And you know,
yeah,
if you get Brady moving off his spot, he at right. this point, you know, he, so
it's still maybe, early. It's still but we early, know maybe. That's a crazy thing. It's still early, but we already know the Bills and the Chiefs are coming out of the AFC.
Right.
To me, the NFC is still up for grabs. It's only the first
Eagles. Might be Eagles. Could be Eagles if they get the
I'm
right.
I think Eagles too got a chance.
The right path forward.
Yep.
If the cards fall the right way, like they fell for the Rams, if the cards fall the right way, they'll make it. Because I don't care what you tell me. If the Packers beat the 49ers last year, the Rams can't beat the Packers. I mean, that's been proven over the last few years. They just have problems with the Packers. So, cars fell the right way for the Rams. They got the right team. You know what I mean? Things have to fall the right way. Get right. the right team.
I'm going out on a limb.
Go ahead.
That team in the upper north with that damn horn.
Don't do it. Doo-doo. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it. What y'all think, though, man?
Dude, that's one game against the team they always play good against, dude. They don't play good against anybody else like that. They don't play anybody else like that.
I'm just thinking, though.
That's like, you know what that is? That's the Cardinals, how they play like the 49ers. Cardinals don't play anybody else.
Like, I know the division games are tough. I'm just thinking.
They can't stop the run, as was proven, which should have been proven, because but the Packers stopped running. You run right at – and the Packers – you remember how you said they ran at Diggs, Tampa?
Right.
Packers ran as the Darius Smith. They ran right at it because they know the dude. He can't stop the run. Shit, San Francisco proved that in the championship game. They kept running to Darius Smith's side. The motherfuckers was running. They still
run. He had a nice sack, though. He had a nice quarterback pressure.
Ooh, though. That don't mean nothing when it –
maybe the equalizer, though. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody to put them over the hump. George and Weezy's grandson.
No.
Out there making some noise, though, man.
Corey, no one has seen this play caller before. By game five, they will have his tendencies. You're going to see what happens.
And that's when it's time to adjust some more then.
But Kirk Cousins. But once you start scheming, not for Jefferson, you start scheming to trap Cousins into throwing to Jefferson, which will be easy. That's it.
I'm not saying that they'll win, because I'm not gonna lie. The Packers made some when they went for it on fourth down.
Yeah,
that could have easily changed the tie. They dropped that opening touchdown pass.
Right.
That could have easily changed it. It would have been a whole different game. It would have been a whole different game.
Put it this way.
Touchdown with a field goal would have been a whole different game.
Let's put it this way. Reverse everything. The game's at Lambeau. The Vikings make the same mistakes the Packers make. The Packers do the same thing the Vikings do. That game is probably like 35-3 Packers. That's what I'm saying. Don't trust Minnesota.
George and Weezy's grandson.
Don't do it to yourself. No, he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good.
He the best one to come. CeeDee Lamb came out of that draft. Jerry Jeudy came out that draft. The cat from Oakland came Jerry out Judy's that draft. Good. He's a bad motherfucker, man.
But we'll see. We'll see how bad he is by week eight when Adam Thielen's no longer on the field, bro. Is he bad? Because last year when Adam Thielen got hurt, we didn't hear nothing from Justin Jefferson. That's all I'm saying.
Why didn't Alexander trail him at least 75% of the time?
Well, the coach said they're a zone team, and so therefore they didn't want to change up the whole defense.
But you still got to make adjustments, though.
Let me tell you. This is what bothers me, though. You got – if you were to do 20 cornerbacks – the three that they got are probably the top 10 in man, if you put them in man defense. Like man-to-man, sticking people, covering people, Rasul Douglas, Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander. Sometimes you got to come out what you want to do, because you know what? The other guy already knows what you want to do. You know why? Because you guys win against each other in practice all the time. So what you do is you switch it up to where he doesn't know what you're going to do. You put them, stick them man, because the three times Jair, they did go to man and Jair played him, that dude had nothing. Absolutely. He even got called for a pass, offensive pass interference.
That was no pass interference, though.
That was pass interference, bro. He extended his arms. You can't do that, brother.
He didn't extend his arm. His arm, how many times have you seen cats just
– You can't do that, though. You cannot move your arm that way. That's the rule, fool. That's the rule.
95% of the time.
That's the rule. That's you wouldn't know. You ain't seen a good defensive back play before. So what you know?
What's
you know? You just seen a guy catch tip balls all the time. That's you don't know nothing about no man.
What's your definition? Give me a demonstration of what's extended arms.
Look, he did like this. That's extended. I'm not talking about like this. But you can't go from here to here. That's you can't create separation with your arm. That's the rule. But you wouldn't know nothing about rules, you Cowboys fan. Most penalized team in the league. You got the most penalized team in the league. What would you know?
Oh, yeah, that's undisciplined. That's just bad. That's bad coaching. Yeah. That's bad everything. 10 penalties, false starts, holdings, pass interferences on the offense. Yeah, that's just
undisciplined. Well, I understand that. I know what that's all about.
We took over y'all, though, man.
Yeah, hey, Cowboys.
What did Mark McCarthy say? We gonna shore up. We gonna address
clean, no. He likes to clean it up. Clean
and then
it up.
They still had 10 damn penalties. Yeah. Come on, man. Drive killers.
We gotta clean it up.
We gotta clean it up.
Yeah,
I'm highly successful football coach.
Teletubby, what I call him. When he was at Packers, I called him Teletubby. And then when he came to Dallas, I said he's a man's man. Yeah. He's starting to revert back to Teletubby to me right now. Hey, because he's not doing shit.
Hey, he's a Teletubby man. Whether he's the coach of the Packers or the coach of the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy is a cowboy killer, brother. He's a cowboy killer. All right, he goes
forever, either way it goes, man. Hey, but the thing about it is, it's not even him. Cowboys right now. It's not even him.
It's not him.
It's not even him, man.
It's the guy up top.
It's the dude. You know what? It's not. It's his son now. His son is. It's his son. I think Jerry is trying to run off to the sunset. His son is the one that's making these, being frugal. They got all this money in the salary cap. They like to groom, draft and groom. They draft pretty well as far as grooming, free agents, whatever. And high, they're not going to do it, man. They're not going to do it.
Tigers going to do it.
Yeah.
They can always hire Bill Callahan.
All right, so I guess that's the wrap up for what your team.
Man,
your
team. It is what it is.
So let's jump into this topic real quick. Go ahead, C. The R&B thing.
Yeah, last week. We'll make it quick, man. I was giving much thought about it. Like, who? I just said from '85 into the present, who can compete with R. Kelly, far as writing, performing the songs, and JT. He ran off a bevy of individuals. Let's not do to our iconic figures who went worldwide. Let's not do Michael Jackson and let's not do Prince. Cause we know who them cats are, man.
Right.
Them cats.
Let me change my life.
Die before they die.
That just ruined your whole argument right there.
So let's not do those two, because that right there, those two individuals right there. Come on, man. They're the best of the best. But of our time, though they was our time, from 85 to the present, who's rolling with R. Kelly, man?
It depends on what were you talking about. Because if you're talking about like a writer and producer, Teddy,
Teddy Riley?
Teddy Riley.
But he's not singing, though.
I know he's not singing, but I'm just saying as a writer and a producer, he had two hit groups, one in the early 90s and one in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
You know?
Well, so, I guess in totality, and I like Teddy Riley too, man. Right. Teddy Riley, hey, he been around for a long time,
right,
man.
Right.
He's still around. Let's throw some singing in there too.
Okay.
Teddy Riley, and that's who I was thinking about myself, man. The other day, I just play Usher. I'm sitting here and I have some drinks and other things, whatever. Yeah. And I'm letting that stuff play and I'm letting it go and I'm letting it go. And hours and hours later,
he was still going.
He was still going. And I did that with Kells before too. Kells, like I said, who can give Kells a run for 20, maybe 30 straight songs? Kells can go a whole day and then some.
Let me tell you.
But Usher stood out to me.
Yeah. You can go up to any, well, we'll just say any black person. We'll just put it that way. You go up to that person of our age, in our age grouping, and you say, it's 7 o'clock on the dot. They will finish that line for you, brother.
They know.
Drop, drop. They start singing, bro.
Right, right. You see those TikToks that they be doing out there, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to hear JT, because JT, we all love music. And I'm not going to lie, I love music. And then I went by Coke's house in high school, and your bro had every doggone album, had the turntables, had the speakers, the sound system. I said, man. And before you know it, I was over there every week. I was eating.
Can I make a tape?
Listening to music. The new stuff came out.
I was sleeping. You know what I'm saying? I was recording tapes. But then this cat JT over here, he on a different level when it comes to music too. So who hang on R. Kelly or surpassing R. Kelly right now, JT?
Okay, so.
Other than Usher.
You going to say Donnell Jones. I said he gonna say Donnell Jones. I was making a joke.
Me and my niggas be rolling.
I was gonna put Orange Juice Jones.
Hey, hey, don't go in that closet. Don't go in that closet. Yeah, don't go in that closet. I saw you and you.
Walk in the face. Oh, all right, so I just got a list, and then y'all can comment. Y'all can comment on some of the artists. Right. But now we just talking about R&B, so I can't really say just as a singer, but a group I would put up there is Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
Before you do that, I guess you said
85. Like, I know they did some things after 85, but they heyday was probably.
Let's go individuals. Yeah. Let's go individuals.
So, okay.
So I bring up Cool in the Game.
Are we counting any Stevie Wonder?
Oh, Stevie Wonder, bro.
Is Stevie Wonder, the majority of his was before 85, though, wasn't it?
He has some afterwards. All right, so let's see. Going to Caucasian artist, Elton John.
R&B? No. Hey, I'm gonna click this thing off right now. Dude.
Hey, no, here we go.
KC and the Sunshine Band.
No, here we go.
Nothing against Elton John.
That was just a joke, y'all. Ronald Isley.
He was before. We said he's old school because he started.
R. Kelly. Ooh. R. Kelly brought back Ron Isley. R. Kelly wrote for Ron Isley.
Yeah.
He don't want to put He don't want to put him back on the map.
Yeah, Mr. Big.
So I'm a refute.
What do y'all think about Freddie Jackson?
Freddie Jackson, he's all right.
No, not
like R. Kelly. He ain't in that. He ain't in that same group though.
20 strong songs. At least 20 strong songs.
No,
I can't do Freddie Jackson. I like Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie. There you go. There's one.
Lionel Richie.
Songwriter too, bro.
We dancing on the ceiling with the Commodores prior.
Hello.
So you got
Lionel. I know the Commodores was before 85, but you know he wrote a lot of the Commodores.
I'm gonna take that one down. I'm gonna have to get some more thoughts on Lionel. Okay. That's a good one though.
Who?
Keith Sweat.
I've done that individually with Keith Sweat. He can't go in my opinion, and I got all this stuff. He can't go a full 20 songs. Strong with R. Kelly, in my opinion.
Okay.
He wrote some songs.
What about Mary J?
And that's Mary J. I'm gonna say Mary J. is iconic. She's a queen of hip hop R&B. You know what? She will give him a run. She would give him a run. And it's funny, and I'm glad you brought up a female, because my thinking, I didn't even include any females, man.
She's sexist, misogyny, brother. No, that's why you like R. Kelly. That's why you like R. That's why you brought up R. Kelly, brother. It's all in the cards.
It's definitely I'm separating R. Kelly from his music from the person.
We can bring them all up. R. Kelly, Michael Jackson. Let's see who else. No.
No,
what
it's
about just, man. What about Justin Timberlake? We're going to put Justin Timberlake in this group.
So Lionel and Mary J.
With Timberland, he might be close.
What about Biebs, right, man Biebs, dog?
I'm going to give you Lionel and Mary J, man. I'm going to go tick for tack with them.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm going to back out Lionel, to be honest, man.
What? Why?
From 85 to the present.
He wrote We Are the World. When was that written?
That was shit. We was in middle school. That was probably around 85, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. 85.
That was probably 84, okay. 85.
Here's one that's a borderline. Jason Derulo.
Oh, man. So that's the new school, man. And I knew, and I brought
Jason Derulo. No, man. I bought you got like four songs. I don't want to hear that shit.
I knew JT dig a little deeper. I'm going to say no myself.
We Out of the World was 1985.
All right, so he
put
just
put back on that list.
He just, I remember being in middle school, man. I remember.
Put Richie back on that list, brother.
All right, so I'm gonna give you Lionel right, Larry
last,
J.
Last one. Charlie Wilson.
Charlie Wilson.
But he ain't got enough. Wilson. He got iconic ones, but he ain't got enough.
But
because it's the Gap Band. It's with the Gap Band.
Where he's featured.
Yeah.
Because he's been featured on some cuts more recently out of the past 15 years.
Yeah.
Who brought him back to relevancy?
Aaron
R. Kelly did.
That's it.
Aaron Hall.
R. Kelly brought him back to relevancy. R. Kelly was like, hey, man, you've been sitting, chilling. Let's bring you back in, just like Ron Isley. Let's bring you back in the loop. And before you know it, Charlie Wilson's career took off again, man. I like him with Charlie, though.
All right. Now, last one, that's a female.
Ooh.
Sade.
Woo!
Not 20 strong cuts though.
What?
You what?
I don't think so, man.
What?
I don't think what? So. 20 strong.
What's your address? I'm coming over there.
About to fall on his chair.
Dude, she got like 30 CDs.
So let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something.
You're saying Sade ain't got 20 songs, bro.
My daughter,
I said
my
strong to hang
my
with
oldest daughter. My strong oldest daughter. To hang with listen to me. My oldest daughter is on this earth. Because of Sade and Miller Lite, brother.
Hey, that sweet taboo, huh? That sweet taboo. All right. I'm not gonna throw her out with the bathwater. I'm not putting her up there with Kelly. I bet
no,
you. Okay,
dude.
Your oldest daughter, Cope, was conceived, whatever you want to call it. Doing a Sade track or whatever, or CDs.
The Soldier of Love, that album.
You can go through, I bet you there's tens of thousands of babies out here walking around right now. Grown people.
Got raped by R. Kelly.
Young people. I know you got adverse to R. Kelly. I don't condone what he did. I still think they allow him to do that. Cause he should have been put down when he married Aaliyah. However, think about how long his career would have never took off if he would have been during that time with Aaliyah. They continued to let him do what he did, and then finally they wanted to shut the door on him. But Lionel,
I think we need
Mary
to quality the child that was conceived at R. Kelly as opposed to quality the child conceived at Sade.
So what kind of quality of child that was Steve conceived on R. Kelly?
Deshaun Watson.
All right, but that's a good one, man.
I know
that's
it ain't his song, but let me rub you down.
All right. So, Cope, man, since JT threw this out there, what do you think about Lionel? You think
Lionel
that's
Richie?
Do you think that's a legitimate argument?
Yes. So, as a singer, as a writer, as a producer, yes, Lionel Richie is there right there.
Regardless, he had a couple facelifts in his time. So what?
That's man? All right.
He's still relevant.
He even wrote the Kenny Rogers song? Lady.
Yep.
You are the one. Yeah, Lionel Richie. Yeah, bro.
Mary J. What you think about Mary
yes,
J?
Yes, bro. The queen of hip-hop soul, brother.
Yep.
That whole 411 album, that's however many songs right there.
And then they remixed them too, though. Yep. Then she threw on a remix on that. Who's that Puffy?
Yeah.
Do a whole remix of
that.
That's
Puffy, man.
Too.
Yeah, that's
all right. That's legitimate.
Okay.
Charlie Wilson.
No. No.
Nah.
No.
It was. I mean, he a good chunk of his cuts was.
I'm not. When I say no to somebody, I'm not dissing them as a singer or as an artist. I'm just saying their body of work can't hold up to R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
Because I mean, that dude been around too from what? Gap Band came out in the early 80s.
Yeah.
He went silent for a while, but then came back. R. Kelly resurrected his career. Mm-hmm. So, well, all right, so you're saying no, but you're saying Sade, yes.
Yes.
And you saying Usher.
Of course, yes.
I'm going with Usher, to be honest, man.
Okay.
I'm going with Usher. I could have been under the influence, but I'm going Usher, to be honest. Out of all those, out of everybody's you name, everybody, Cope, JT, and I knew JT would come with his notes and whatnot.
What about the BGs?
Usher, man, because
the BGs?
Who the BGs? Was
Andy Gibb.
Right. Right. Gibbs. But yeah, but like, if you put it in totality, of course, Prince, if you're going before 85, during our time, of course, Prince and Michael Jackson would go to
Prince, but at the same time, 2000.
Say what?
Prince was putting out albums after 2000.
And let's not forget, Prince wrote a lot of Morris Day and the Time stuff. Prince, Vanity, Vanity Six, Sinead O'Connor. He just wrote on a lot of people. War Flag, and what was the girl's name? The Bengals. I think
he did that too.
He did one of Manic Monday, I think he did. One of his songs.
Yeah, he did.
I think on one of his albums, he played all the instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that though, man. All his instruments. And that's making me think though, like them cats died, Prince and Michael Jackson, way ahead of their time. Them cats was in their what, mid-50s?
Michael Jackson was 50 and Prince was
55 or 56 or something like that.
56, something like
that. So R. Kelly's not putting out any music anytime soon.
No.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't want to see like a pattern of our entertainers that's prolific at what they do pass away before they time. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Usher makes the right choices and decisions and whatnot, and don't fall prey to these drugs and whatever is putting people down and whatnot. But like I said too, I put Usher on, let it play. And it played, and it played, and it played. Yeah. His whole confession CD, man.
I love that CD. I love that CD.
Confession. You know how sometimes you get in the car or you at the crib, and as you put a CD in, and yeah, we still talking about CDs. Now it's streaming and whatnot. But you fast forward through it. That confession, you ain't gotta fast forward through any of
this
those.
This is my confessions.
Woo! You know what I'm saying? Man, Cope singing R&B up this motherfucker.
That's
man.
Right, boy. Don't get me blowing up in here. We talking about rock worship.
Hey, JT, look like you thinking, man. You thinking more, man.
He trying to get up somebody. He gonna bring up
like you pondering right now.
I'll be sure. Somebody like that.
You read my mind.
No, LB ain't got 20 strong cuts.
Like, hey, what about I'll be sure?
Wow. My name is I'll be sure.
I'll be sure.
There it is, right there. And y'all first cousins, man. Y'all first cousins. So there you go. There you go, man.
He was looking, that's an I'll be sure, man. That's an I'll be sure. He got I'll be sure on his body.
The eyebrows started connecting a little bit, man. They started coming in. Rescue me. There's a girl standing there. But no, all right. That was something I was thinking about, because all these verses that was going on, some of them were good, some of them were bad, in my opinion. But I'd like to see who would give Kells during our generation, a run for his money. So that's how I wanted to throw that out there, man. I thought that was a good segment.
All right. So we'll wrap it up from there. And thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Double Up, one of my favorite albums.
Who?
Double Up.
Oh, man. Hey, 10 toe. Hey, with Snoop. Yeah, with
Jungle Love.
All right, everybody. These fools. See you later on Generate Next.